Hey, summer is quickly approaching. Who's excited for summer? We are not summer people. Okay. Now, I know that many of you can't probably remember what you had for breakfast this morning, and so it's probably a stretch if I was to ask you if you remember how we started our year off back in September and October. But as summer arrives, I wanted to take this opportunity for a few moments this morning to remind you of the journey that we've been on together as a church, to kind of bookend it here sort of on the back end as a redux, a recollection of some thoughts that we began with, and just kind of reset them and remind ourselves of what we've been thinking about, talking about, sensing God's call about. When we began this ministry year, we dove into a series that we called Vintage Faith. We spent a number of weeks looking at Jesus' teaching in John chapter 15, and out of that text, we outlined three things that we felt strongly as a leadership team God was calling us to give special focus to this year. And our shorthand way of referring to those three things, as Pastor Jeremiah already pointed out this morning, is prayer engagement, Holy Spirit empowerment, and difference-making faith. Three things that, as actually a number of you have pointed out along the way, sort of represent a little bit of a continuum in our faith journey. In prayer, we're engaged with God. We're bringing our prayer requests. We're lifting one another up before Him. We're attending to His presence among us. And of course, we do that because we believe God truly is among us. We believe in the reality that the Holy Spirit is present. He is active. He is speaking to us. He's guiding us in truth, calling us to obedience, empowering us for lives of kingdom significance. We want to pay attention to that. We want His empowerment to be the wind in the sails of our lives. And as we say yes to partnering with Him in what He's already up to, we become instruments of kingdom come moments, situations and events in life in which we witness and experience the transformation that takes place when God's kingdom breaks out in our midst, when it becomes tangible on earth as it is in heaven. Prayer engagement, Holy Spirit empowerment, difference-making faith. These have been our areas of unique focus for this past season. And as a leadership team, as our council team has wrestled and talked and discerned together, we believe that God has not only been calling us to these in the past year, but we believe we're not finished with them either. Not that we're ever finished, of course, but there has been the sense that God's plans and purposes for us as a church as we move into the summer and move into the next season continue to be to stay with these three priority areas, to continue to dig deeper into them. And so that's our plan as we move into the next ministry season. And I've been thinking a bit about, you know, what is it that we're really after around these three ideas? Because I know that we could, if we really wanted, I think we could perpetuate a bunch of activity. We could invest in programs or initiatives that would give the outward appearance of prayer engagement, Holy Spirit empowerment, and difference-making faith without actually experiencing the real transformation that comes along with those things. I think we're capable enough that we could find ways to manufacture good imitations of these three priorities. But that's not what any of us really want, is it? A couple weeks ago, I was having a coffee with a friend of mine who was previously serving as a pastor here in the Valley, and now a little bit removed from being active in vocational ministry and having had time to read and reflect and think about some of the things that he had been a part of. He was reminiscing with me about his experience, and he said something to me that on the one hand was just, you know, sort of a, it seemed like it maybe a common sense statement, but there was something about when he said it. It was like the Holy Spirit in my life was just scribbling over it with a highlighter felt. He said that as he was reflecting back on his years of ministry, that he was a part of things at his church that he was involved in as a leader that he assumed at the time, he assumed was the fruit of ministry, but in retrospect, as he looked back on it, felt that it was a lot more just the works of ministry. There was stuff he had accomplished, stuff he had gotten done, things that he thought in the moment, well, I probably should be doing this, but on sober second thought, he was looking back and realizing it wasn't really lining up with what the Holy Spirit was doing in those moments, it wasn't what God was up to in those instances. It was an interesting distinction to make, fruit and works. And it got my wheels turning because I would never want to look back on my time here at South Abbotsford Church and ever have that sense. And yet how easy would it be for us just to accomplish a bunch of stuff apart from the Holy Spirit that would look good enough to be mistaken for spiritual fruit but was actually just kind of our best personal efforts. Fruit and works. What's the difference between the two? And maybe I should just make one qualifying statement here that I think is important. When I say works, you know, I get that there are places in the Bible that talk about works positively. And so we have to make a distinction. And the distinction I want to make is between spiritual fruit and self-righteous works. In Ephesians 2:10, Paul says that we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works. So yes, good works is something that should be a part of our life. But what does Paul say right after that? Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. There's something about the good works that are to come out of our life that aren't self-manufactured outcomes, but they're the natural outflow of what God is already up to in our life. It's about walking out the things God has already been doing, preparing for us before we were even born. The picture in John 15 is the picture of bearing fruit, being conduits of the life of Jesus coursing through us, with spiritual fruitfulness being the outcome, which I think is very different than what I just accomplished in my own strength. Melissa Kruger from Uptown Church in Charlotte has an illustration that I like, I'm somewhat partial to try and understand the difference between spiritual fruit and self-righteous works. She says this, she says, try to picture in your mind's eye two trees that are off in the distance. And as you look, it's clearly evident that both are heavy laden with apples. The natural assumption is you've come across two apple trees. However, as you walk closer and arrive at the base of the trees, you notice that they differ in one very important way. On the first tree, apples are hanging there naturally from the stem, just like you'd expect. But the second tree causes you to look again in bewilderment, because all the apples have been tied onto it. Painstakingly, someone has spent hours attempting to make this tree appear like it's an apple tree, but you know better. A close inspection reveals the reality that the fruit you see was not born from the inward sap, the life of the tree, but from the outward labors of someone trying to create an illusion. And I'm just struck by how important it is that we as a church would carry an absolute aversion to creating illusions of this kind in our lives and in our church community. We have to have a desire for and a commitment to the real deal. Being a church that doesn't just manufacture a bunch of stuff that looks like fruitfulness, but instead we need to bear real fruit, which comes from abiding deeply in Jesus. How do we tell the difference? Well, I think it requires enough courage for us to be brutally honest in our own self-assessment of what's really going on in us as people. And I think Galatians 5 is a good place to help us with this. Paul says that the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. Being able to honestly assess whether our character, whether our personhood evidences the fruit that comes out of abiding in Jesus is, I think, a huge clue about whether what is being accomplished from my life is also being produced because of the life of Jesus, real spiritual fruit. If the vitality of the Holy Spirit is coursing through me such that my life evidences love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, if that's really who I am, then there's a good chance that what proceeds from my life into the world around me as a result of those things is not my own manufactured outcomes. It's true spiritual fruit. The virtues Paul lists in the context of honest awareness, honest self-assessment, help me be aware if I'm a real apple tree or just creating the illusion of being an apple tree. And so as we continue the journey with these three priority areas into the summer and then into the next year, this is the thought I want us to carry forward with us. As we seek to be people of prayer engagement and Holy Spirit empowerment and difference-making faith, let's be sure we're looking deep into our lives along the way, paying attention to the kind of people we are on the journey, abiding deeply with Jesus, letting Jesus abide in us, such that we bear fruit, not humanly manufactured works, but true spiritual fruit, which evidence God's kingdom in our midst. And so on that note, for your encouragement and for Jesus' glory, I want to share a story with you this morning of someone in our congregation who I believe has lived out this kind of mutual abiding with Jesus, simply partnering with what he's already up to in the world and as a result experiencing some real spiritual fruit. So I'm going to invite you to turn your attention to the screen and listen to this story that Ruth Sherwood has to share with us.
Hi, my name is Ruth Sherwood. Welcome to my classroom. I'm a teacher here at MEI. I teach grade 2, have 24 wonderful students. And my story actually starts back in August, before school started, when normally I choose a passage or a verse of scripture to be my focus for the year. And so this past year, I've chosen the passage John 15, that talks about Jesus being the vine and we are the branches, and that if we remain in him and he in us, we will bear much fruit. And apart from him, we can do nothing. So that is the passage I had chosen. And I was led to praying about that and seeing that happen in my life. I had a hunger and a desire to grow and know what that scripture actually meant in myself and in my classroom. So I asked God a few questions about what does it mean to abide in you? What does it mean for you to abide in me? I asked him what it meant to remain in him, in his love, and would I see fruit? What would that fruit look like in my classroom, in my life? So I had a lot of questions, and that was starting to brew inside of me. So it was kind of a surprise when our church had our kickoff in fall at South Poplar School, and Pastor Matt got up and shared about vintage faith, and he used that same passage, John 15, that I had been mulling over in my mind, and it just stirred in me this desire to learn and grow more in that scripture, and I felt like, God, you're speaking to me personally. And I just feel like something, you are going to do something in my classroom, in my life this year that I'm just waiting and expecting to see happen. So after that kind of nudge and that excitement, school began and I met my class and just a wonderful bunch of kids. And I really enjoyed getting to know them and to see their energy. They were full of energy and full of life. And I loved their unique personalities, and the love for them was starting to grow in me, and it was growing more and more, and I kept asking God to give me love for each and every one of them. But I had another sense, like a lot of teachers do the first couple weeks of school, a feeling of this overwhelmedness that I see so many needs, and how do I even help these kids and meet their needs? And so that is when I started praying and acknowledging that, God, apart from you, I can do nothing. And I remember going to school almost every day saying that, acknowledging that, God, apart from you, I can do nothing, and to rely and depend on him. And so this was stirring inside of me. And at the beginning of the school year, I have a book that I read to the kids, and it's a book that talks about the life of Jesus. And it goes through Jesus's life, his death, his resurrection. And in this book, there is a boy who wonders why Jesus has to die on the cross. And he's asking questions. He's wondering about what Jesus's life is all about. And he realizes that there's this wall of sin that separates him from God. And he sees that it's only Jesus that can break through that wall by dying on the cross and saving us from our sins so that he can have a relationship with God. So that was the point I was at in my story in mid-October when I came to church. And when I came in mid-October, I knew that the next day I was going to go back into the classroom and share this boy's decision of either following Christ or going his own way. That was the point we were at. And so Matt was speaking again that morning, and of course it was on John 15, and he was talking about bearing fruit. Well, inside, my heart was just pounding. I was getting excited. I was thinking about what I was sharing the next day with my class, and I was hearing him talk about the part about bearing fruit, that God wanted to see fruit born. And I was just, in my heart, I was just excited and I could hardly contain it. Well, at the end of that service, Marilyn Schroeder comes up and says, I want to share a word from the Lord that I received when Matt was talking about bearing fruit. And she picked up on the word bearing. And what she said was that in bearing fruit, God wanted to see no waiting period, that the fruit would be born, that many people would come to know Jesus. There would not be a waiting period. It would happen in a day, even in a day. And I just felt this excitement, like that word was for me. And so after the service, I went up to talk to Marilyn and told her about my lesson the next day. And she prayed for me and she encouraged me, and she did say, you know, tell me what happens tomorrow. And that was important to me. It was like she was expecting as well that God would work. And so I left church and I just had such a peace and such a joy and excitement that was welling up inside of me, and an anticipation that I haven't felt in such a strong way before. So the next day I come to school and I ask the children to come sit at the carpet. And I tell them that today I want to tell them about the most important decision I've ever made in my life. And every eye looked at me, all the wiggle stopped, and they were ready to listen. It was like a divine moment when these children were waiting to hear this. And instead of picking up the book to continue the story and to keep reading it like I normally would, I felt just a prompting of the Spirit to share my own story. So I shared with the children how I became a Christian at a very young age. And then I decided I would share my daughter's story, Meredith, of how she met Jesus, because she met Jesus when she was in kindergarten using the same book that I was reading to the class. So I shared her story, and after that I picked up the book and I showed how this boy had decided to trust Jesus, to give him his life. And I talked about what it means to have Jesus make his home in your heart. And after that, I said, let's pray together. And if you would like to ask Jesus in your heart, you can do it right now. So we prayed together. And I remember after that prayer, I just asked the class, is there anybody that has asked Jesus for the first time to come into your heart? And there were many hands that went up. And I was just instantly filled with joy. And so I said, during the day today, if you have made that decision, could you come talk to me at some point? So when the children went back to their desks, two Indo-Canadian boys stood with me and I asked them if they had questions. One of the boys says, I have some questions about Jesus. And he asked me those questions and I answered them, and I talked with these two boys a little bit, and both of them said, we've asked Jesus to come into our hearts today. And during that day, I had two other girls come and tell me that they had asked Jesus in their hearts. Out of that day, four of my students that were Indo-Canadian had asked Jesus in their hearts, and two other children from Christian homes had asked Jesus in their hearts for the first time. So I was just full of joy. So since then, I've had a little bit of follow-up with parents talking to me and students that I've talked with that have become Christians. One of the Indo-Canadian parents told me that, I should just back up a step. For the children that did not have any Bibles in their home, we gave them each a Bible. So there were four kids that received a Bible because they didn't have any. So the one mom had come back and told me, "Oh, my son, he has put his Bible on this very special shelf where he has other very special things." But she says he takes the Bible down every night and he reads it. And then he keeps it on the shelf. And he also comes home and he tells stories about God and right living, the way we should live moral lives. He comes home with these stories and it's like he's saying word for word what the teacher says. He comes home and shares those stories with his siblings. And then when the cousins come over, he shares it all over again. So that just filled me with joy to hear that he's just loving to hear the stories of Jesus and wanting to read the Bible. Another boy that I talked to, Indo-Canadian boy, he said, "I struggle with reading the Bible. It's hard to read." But he says, "My older sister has now come and she reads the Bible to me." So he is also, I've seen a change in his life where he has come to me and he says, "May I pray in the class?" And so he's now praying and just wanting to grow with God. And there was another girl who also shared with me, "Can we just pray more in class?" And I just think the hunger is there, the desire is there, and this is what the Lord is doing. He's doing some amazing things in this classroom. For me, it started with a hunger, a deep hunger to experience the Word of God in my life. That's how it started. And I just have seen how God has moved me along step by step, like he has invited me into the work he's already doing. I just didn't know how he would work in this classroom, but it's been beautiful to see how as I surrender and say, "It's not my agenda, apart from me, I can do nothing. God, show me the steps, prompt me by your Spirit." He welcomes me into the work he's doing, which is just an amazing experience. And I just am so grateful to God for choosing me to be a part of this. So that is my story, and it's God's work is continuing on. If you think of us, pray for us in our classroom and for these new young Christians and their families, that they too would come to know Jesus.
And so may this upcoming summer and our upcoming ministry year be full of stories of how we are abiding in Jesus and responding to his invitation to be part of kingdom come work that he's already up to in our world. I want to finish by just listening to the words of Jesus. And so I invite you to follow along with me. John 15. "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more. Already you are clean because of the work that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full." This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. The greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. I'd like to invite you into a moment of reflection and prayer as we bring our service this morning to a close. And this morning, as we sort of enter this, again, this transition time into summer, and I know for a number of people, there's holiday plans, and we are more scattered than we are much of the rest of the year. I just want to give you a moment to just attend to God's presence in our midst, and maybe even hear what he would want to say to you this morning about abiding and about fruitfulness, even in your summer activities. Would you be willing this morning in your heart to declare to Jesus your willingness to be on assignment this summer, to be paying attention, to be listening for the voice of the Spirit in regards to what he may be calling you to? And maybe that would be in places that you already are going to be going. Maybe it's on a camping trip. Maybe it's at your kids' sports activities. Maybe it's in a conversation over the fence with a neighbor. Would you say yes to Jesus to be listening for the voice of his Spirit? But what it means to bear the fruit of his life in you in those moments. Maybe for you this morning, it's more like what Ruth shared. It's maybe not so much that what God's saying to you is just calling you to a readiness and a willingness for what might come, but you actually, maybe your heart's pounding. Maybe you have a person or a situation or something. You just know today God's saying he wants to use you in that place, in that space, in that relationship. And would you say yes to being available and to going this summer into that thing he's calling you to? So I just want to give you a moment of silence and just invite you in this moment. Would you commit to God in those ways? And if so, just tell him that. Have a conversation with him about that. In your heart, speak those words to him. God, it is our delight to be your children. Jesus, we declare today what a privilege it is for us to be invited into this relationship of abiding in you and having you not just abide with us, but abide in us. Wow. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are at work always, empowering us, emboldening us, speaking truth to us, revealing the things of Jesus to us. And Lord, I'm sure many of us are looking forward to the next few months and sunshine, and there's probably plans that we have, but God, just remind us again, your kingdom is always advancing. You don't take the summer off. And so we want to be people who continue to pay attention, continue to partner with you, continue to say yes to the calling that you have on us with delight, with joy, with expectation. God, believing that when we ask that, we're not asking for something that's not on your heart. We're not drawing your attention to something you're not thinking about. You are building your kingdom. It's what you're about in our world. And we just want to say yes to partnering with the work you're already doing. We want to live out the spiritual fruit, the spiritual works that happen when we walk in the things you've already called us to in advance. So God, we look forward to what that will look like. We look forward to sharing more stories of the way in which you work in and through us to bring glory and honor to Jesus. and to be a part of the building of your kingdom. And to that end, we give ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as we come to a close, I'd like to just finish with a responsive reading as a way of giving you a charge and sending you today. So if you would, could I ask you to stand with me? And if you would read with me on the screen, the part that says congregation, that's you. All right? So here's the charge I want to leave you with. Go into the world. Go into the world. Dance, laugh, sing, and create. We go into the world, assurance of God's blessing. Go into the world, risk, explore, discover, and love. We go with the assurance of God's grace. Go into the world, believe, hope, struggle, remember. We go with the assurance of God's love. Thanks be to God. Amen. Go with God.